From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Message is preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. All the attributes of Christ as God and man are at our disposal. All the fullness of the Godhead, whatever that marvelous term may comprehend, is ours to make us complete. He cannot endow us with the attributes of deity, but He has done all that can be done. For He has made even His divine power and Godhead subservient to our salvation. His omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and infallibility are all combined for our defense. Arise, believer, and behold the Lord Jesus yoking the whole of His divine Godhead to the chariot of salvation. How vast His grace, how firm His faithfulness, how unswerving His immutability, how infinite His power, how limitless His knowledge. All these are by the Lord Jesus made the pillars of the temple of salvation, and all, without diminution of their infinity, are covenanted to us as our perpetual inheritance. The fathomless love of the Savior's heart is every drop of it ours. Every sinew in the arm of might, every jewel in the crown of majesty, the immensity of divine knowledge and the sternness of divine justice, all are ours and shall be employed for us. The whole of Christ in His adorable character as the Son of God is by Himself made over to us most richly to enjoy. His wisdom is our direction, His knowledge our instruction, His power our protection, His justice our surety, His love our comfort, His mercy our solace, and His immutability our trust. He makes no reserve, but opens the recesses of the Mount of God and bids us dig in its mines for the hidden treasures. All are yours, saith He. Be ye satisfied with favor and full of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, how sweet thus to behold Jesus and to call upon Him with the certain confidence that in seeking the interposition of His love or power, we are but asking for that which He has already faithfully promised.
Not one sparrow is forgotten. In the raven God will feed, and the lily of the valley from His bounty has its need. Then shall I trust Thee, Father, in Thy mercy have a share, and through grace and faith, my Savior, merit Thy protecting care.
Ooh.
These days, when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of a message entitled, "Secure in God's Everlasting Arms." The text is Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose." The context refers to the weakness of God's people, especially their physical, temporal problems. And the text is also connected to the teaching of the entire chapter, the truth that there is no condemnation to believers in Christ. As we've seen, the all things mentioned in the verse does not refer to every single event in a believer's life, but to the truth that all things taken together are accomplishing God's purpose in that saint's life. Our assurance of this is founded in the fact of who God is. Also, it's vital to understand that this verse applies only to those that love God. The unsaved have no such promise, for those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ do not love God. Then Paul speaks of them that are the called according to his purpose. In other words, everything in our salvation is traced back to God, the author and finisher of our faith. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message called Secure in God's Everlasting Arms.
So this sort of Pollyanna kind of world that, oh, everything's going to work out for good, the Bible doesn't teach that. All things work together for good, and here is an exclusive company to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose, and to no one else. This is true of believers, the justified, nobody else. They're described in these two ways. They love God. They love God. Now this actually, at first, seems to be a little out of place. You look at this context, it's all about what God has done. You go into the verses before, it's the Spirit doing this. You go into the verses after. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, he also called, he also justified. It's all what God did. So therefore, God's people are looked on in this context as believers. They're looked on as people upon whom God has worked to deliver them from condemnation. And suddenly into the middle of it all, we have this description of them as being lovers of God. Seems a little incongruous, and yet it's not. You see, one thing we've got to understand. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardons all our sins and he accepts us as righteous in his sight only because of the righteousness of Christ which he imputes to us and we receive by faith alone. That's what's called in theology a forensic, a judicial, a legal act of God changing our legal status before him. I want you to know something. When a man is justified by faith, that man will be a lover of God. You can't believe in him if you don't love him. Your faith is a vain parody of true faith. If you don't love him, true believers love God. So much so that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, and he said, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. Let him be damned. Let him be lost eternally. If you do not love God, you do not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, this is not some vain emotion. This is love of the highest kind. If you think of this love, in the words of a great German commentator, it is comprehension coupled with corresponding purpose. This is a love that knows, I know whom I have believed. And it is a purpose of heart to live for the glory of God. That's the love we're talking about. This is not just talking about mere sentimentality. Getting worked up with a few charismatic choruses, swaying in some hypnotic state until you feel like you've had a high on some drugs. Not the kind of love we're talking about. Talking about a love that's grounded in a biblical knowledge of God. And that then produces a purpose to please God. They love him. And then they're the called according to his purpose. And this clarifies the first. You see, we just said this is true for all who love God. You would think, well, there's something in my love that merits all this. And of course, that's not true. There's nothing meritorious in anything we do or say or feel. Everything in salvation must be traced right back to God. He settled his love on us according to his eternal purpose. He called us with an effectual call of irresistible grace. This is the company. Now, for this company, all things are working together. In other words, if you're like old Jacob, you're going through life, there's no soft down pillow. All you've got to lay your head on is a rock. And all you've got to lie down on is the bare hard earth. If you're like old Jacob and you're going through a rough time, yet you can say, all this is working together for my good. I don't know how it's doing it. I don't know how God is going to bring it all about. But I know he will bring it about. Whatever your circumstances, in this company, all things are working together for good. But say you're outside this company. And you know if you're in it or if you're out of it. Let me ask you tonight, are you among the lovers of God? Are you among those who have been called of God, and in obedience to that call you have come to Christ, and you can say, I love him because he first loved me. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Are you among the lovers of God? No unsaved man can love God. Not one. As Spurgeon said many, many years ago, they may love a God of their own imagining, but they cannot love the God of revelation. They cannot love the God of grace. They have no heart fixed for the glory of God. No unsaved man can genuinely love God or his Christ. So again I ask you, are you in this company? Because if you're not, this promise is not for you. Oh, things are working all right in your life. Time is fleeting. The moments are going into hours, and the hours into days, and the days into weeks, and the weeks into years, and they're speeding by, and they're carrying you at tremendous velocity toward the great eternity of God. Things are working okay. If you're not a lover of God, no matter what your religious pretensions may be, things are not working together for your good. You stop and think of this. Outside of this exclusive company, all that is working in the lives of the impenitent and the ungodly is conducting them to an everlasting midnight darkness of hell. All things working together for good for God's people. I want you to think of this. You can't read the secret counsels of God. You do not understand His secret purposes. You do not understand His electing purpose. That's why it's so crazy for people to tell you to figure out if you're elect before you come to Christ. You'll never figure that out until you come to Christ. You can't read His secret counsel, but you do know if you love God. That you do know. And to them that love Him, they are the called. And all things work together for good. So what do you do if you're in the company? I'll go back to my quotation. Pass the time. Instead of focusing on the possibilities of what doctors may be looking for or the possibilities of what circumstances may yield, focus on the great certainties that you know about God. And if you're not in this company, what should you do? Flee to Christ. See, all the promises of God are where? In Christ. It's in Christ that they are yea and amen. The promises of God are experienced in Christ, never apart from Him. So the call of the gospel is always to get to Christ. And then shall you be able to join in this glorious affirmation. And then the teeth of the hurricanes of trouble that sweep over your life, raise your voice in a God-given defiance of every demon of hell and every opponent of earth. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight that Thou art God, absolute, eternal, infinite, and immutable. We thank Thee, our God, that all power is Thine and all wisdom is Thine. We praise Thee, O God, that we can trust our all-knowing and gracious God. We praise Thee for this comfort and this confidence that God gives to His people. We thank Thee that there's not an event of life that can contradict or derail the purpose of God's grace and goodness toward His people. We thank Thee, our Father, that Thou hast made our eternal salvation, our ultimate salvation, absolutely certain. We give Thee thanks. And our Father, we would pray that the comfort of Thy word may come now with simple clarity, with overwhelming power to every heart. Lord, Thou hast recorded it in Thy word that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We realize, O God, that it's just as natural for men to have trouble in life as it is for sparks to fly from a blacksmith's anvil. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt grant us, in the midst of the troubles of life, this great, great, glorious consolation, comfort, and confidence. We have a gracious Heavenly Father. He's working all things out according to His purpose, for the good of His own people who love Him. Lord, may the sweet confidence of that bring balm to many a troubled heart tonight. We pray that Thou wilt bring peace to minds that the devil has been attacking. We pray that God's people will go home from this place rejoicing. What a wonderful Savior. We pray for those who are not in the company of God's people. They're not saved. Whatever else they may be or not be, they can't say they're among the lovers of God. Lord, save people from vain religion, from dead and empty form. Save us, O Lord, we pray, from ourselves and from our sins. Grant that tonight there are those here without Christ. Thou wilt bring them to the Savior. We tremble to think where life is leading for the unsaved. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus about the broad way. He said it leads to death. Gracious God, in thy powerful mercy, intervene to save the lost. So hear our prayer. Bless thy word. Now grant that thy grace, thy mercy and thy peace will be our abiding portion both this Sabbath evening and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name and through the merit of his precious blood. Amen.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.